today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Thursday, June 8, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and today we're joining a live press conference with President Joe Biden at the White House as he entertains the Prime Minister, and he will be introducing him right now. So let us join them now at the White House.
For our economic partnership for the 21st century. It outlines how we can enhance our cooperation to accelerate the clean energy transition that must take place and is taking place, lead the development of emerging technologies that are going to shape so much of our future, and protect technologies critical to our national security. The key piece of that is working together to strengthen our critical mineral supply chains and to make them more resilient so we're not dependent on any one country to meet our goals. When it comes to technology that will shape the future, like semiconductors, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, the UK and the US are working together to make sure they are developed safely and responsibly and jointly. We're going to do more on joint research and development to ensure the future we're building remains fundamentally aligned with our value set in both our countries. And we're doing more to prevent technologies that are invented and developed in our countries from being used for military or intelligence purposes by countries that do not share our values. Today, we're also discussed our unwavering support for the people of Ukraine and who are defending themselves against the most brutal aggression we've seen in a long time at the hands of Russia and Putin. The UK and the United States, together with more than 50 partners, have committed historic levels of security assistance to Ukraine. I want to thank the Prime Minister for his strong, strong leadership, contributing significant amounts of security assistance and training Ukrainian troops so they can effectively use the equipment and ammunition we've collectively provided. And in bringing the world together later this month to drive support for Ukraine's long-term economic recovery. You're doing a great deal. So, Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for making the journey to Washington. Earlier this week, we marked the 79th anniversary of D-Day and a timely reminder of the proud history of our nation's share and the values that we have long stood together to defend. That's the unshakable foundation of this special relationship, and it is a special relationship. There's no country closer to us than Great Britain. Today, as NATO allies, partners in innovation, as friends, shared vision of the future, and our two nations are ready to meet the challenges of our time and meet them together. And I'm confident the United Kingdom and the United States will continue to lead the world toward greater peace, prosperity, and security for all. So thank you again, Mr. Prime Minister, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I begin my remarks, a word, if I may, on what happened in France this morning. All our thoughts are with those affected by this unfathomable attack, including a British child, and with their families. I've been in touch with President Macron. We stand ready to offer any assistance that we can. Mr. President, Joe, it is an honor to be here at the White House, and thank you for your very warm welcome. Not for decades has the relationship between our two nations been so important. The values we share, our belief in freedom, democracy, and the rule of law, have never changed. They never will. But what has changed are the challenges that we face. And standing here together, as our predecessors have done for generations, I feel confident that through the strength of our relationship, we can shape the world once again in our pursuit of liberty, prosperity, and the possibilities of a new age. And that begins with our highest priority, national security. Last time I was here in the US, we signed AUKUS, the most significant defense partnership in generations, because we recognize that the security of the Atlantic and Pacific regions are indivisible. And just a fortnight ago, in Hiroshima, President Biden and I stood with President Zelensky and our G7 allies in a powerful display of unity. The UK is proud of our contribution, including providing tanks, long-range weapons, and training Ukrainian soldiers. But let no one doubt, US leadership and resources are the decisive contribution allowing the forces of democracy and freedom to prevail. As I said in Congress, and I say again now to President Biden and to the American people, thank you. And just as we collaborate to protect our national security, so must we increasingly do the same to protect our economic security, on which our prosperity depends. Countries like China and Russia are willing to manipulate and exploit our openness, steal our intellectual property, use technology for authoritarian ends, or withdraw crucial resources like energy. They will not succeed. Today we have agreed the Atlantic Declaration, a new economic partnership for a new age, of a kind that has never been agreed before. Yes, a partnership that protects our citizens, but more than that, a test case for the kind of reimagined alliances President Biden has spoken so eloquently about. That means new investment. This week alone, £14 billion of new American investment has been committed into the UK, creating thousands of jobs. It means stronger supply chains with a new action plan on clean energy. And it means reducing trade barriers and the technologies of the future with a new secure UK-US data bridge, helping tens of thousands of small businesses. An agreement to work towards mutual recognition of more professional qualifications in areas like engineering. And we're launching negotiations on a new critical minerals agreement. Once concluded, this will give UK companies stronger access to the US market. And we're building on our extraordinary shared strengths in cutting-edge future technologies with joint research collaborations in areas like quantum, semiconductors, and AI. Now, our job as leaders is to ensure that this technological revolution makes us more secure and not less. Last week, the pioneers of artificial intelligence warned us about the scale of the challenge as well as the opportunity. The US and the UK are the world's foremost democratic AI powers. So today, President and I agreed to work together on AI safety, including multilaterally. Now, the UK looks forward to hosting the first global summit on AI safety later this year, so that we can seize the extraordinary possibilities of this new technological age and do so with confidence. We are well placed to do so. I know some people have wondered what kind of partner Britain would be after we left the EU. I say, judge us by our actions. We're committed to our values as ever, as reliable an ally as ever, as attractive an investment destination as ever. But we're changing too. We're strengthening our relationship, not just with old friends like America and in Europe, but with new friends in the Indo-Pacific too. And we now have the freedom to regulate the new technologies that will shape our economic future, like AI, more quickly and flexibly. That is the future that we are creating in Britain. Confident, proud, and free. Let me close with a personal reflection. As Joe mentioned, he and I have seen quite a lot of each other in recent months. We gather our wives have even started to take spin classes together. And we were talking earlier about our hometowns. Joe is very rightly proud of Scranton. And I was telling him a little bit about Southampton in England, where I'm from. Now, not everyone knows this, but it was in a church in Southampton where in the days before he set sail for these shores, that John Winthrop first spoke about his dream of building a city on a hill. And that reminds us that the relationship between our two nations is unlike any other. Our alliance is so strong because it is not abstract. It is rooted in our people. And it's never been about our history alone, but about our ability to grasp the future. We share the same beliefs, pursue the same purpose, and act according to the same ideals. And that's why today, as we meet the challenges of our time, we can depend on each other with absolute conviction. When the United States and the United Kingdom stand together, the world is a safer, better, and more prosperous place. And that's why ours is the Indispensable Alliance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. All right, first question goes to James of the Financial Times. Unless he left.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the question. You spoke about your unwavering support for the people of Ukraine. So much of that depends on funding from the U.S. Congress. And now with the counteroffensive underway, when do you expect to return to Congress and ask for new funding? And how much do you expect you will need? And do you think that Speaker McCarthy will agree to it, given practical comments that we heard earlier? Prime Minister Sunak, you spoke earlier this week about the importance of finding long-term security arrangements and agreements for defense of Ukraine for many years ahead. Do you think that, have you found a common position with President Biden on that issue? What's your preferred model for a long-term security agreement with respect to Ukraine? And does it need to be sorted out before the Vilnius summit? Thank you.
Let me begin by answering your question. First of all, the Ukrainians should speak to the military operations. I won't do that from here. We've done everything we could collectively, but individually in the United States to make them ready to support that's going to continue. And an evolving situation that we're very optimistic. In talks with Ukrainians and Ukrainians, and particularly with Zelensky and our allies and partners, on commitments to Ukraine, long-term security to deter future aggression after this war ends is a goal. And we're advancing this goal by providing them the support Ukraine needs now on the battlefield and helping them strengthen their military over the long term. The fact of the matter is that I believe we'll have the funding necessary to support Ukraine as long.
Mr. President.
I think you're going to steal the mic. That's why.
There will be Laura Byrne Lopez with the PBS NewsHour. All over the country, Mr. President, Republican-led states are passing laws, passing anti-LGBTQ, anti-transgender laws that restrict rights in medical care. Intimidation is on the rise. This week, anti-LGBTQ protesters turned violent in California. And also recently, I spoke to the parents of a transgender girl in Texas who told me that they're afraid and that they're considering leaving not just their state, but the country. Sir, why do you think this is happening? And what do you say to parents like the ones that I spoke to those families who are contemplating leaving the country because they don't feel safe anymore? Prime Minister Sunak, thank you. You mentioned that AI has been a key part of your visit. What are the U.S. and the U.K., what is the U.K. doing with the U.S. to protect elections and democracy from AI-generated disinformation campaigns waged at scale by foreign actors? And you also mentioned the warning letter sent by AI leaders about the potential threat that this technology, if misused, can pose to humanity. How is regulating artificial intelligence going to be any different than what has been done at the global scale so far to deal with climate change, another existential threat?
Let me answer your first question. First of all, maybe quietly when we finish this, you can give me the number of that family, and I will call them, let them know that the president and this administration has their back, and I mean that. Look, as president, I was proud to end the ban on transgender troops in our military, sign the Respect for Marriage Act, strengthen the civil rights protections for LGBT Americans, and advance LGBT human rights around the globe. But our fight is far, far from over because we have some hysterical and, I would argue, prejudiced people who are engaged in all what you see going on around the country. It's an appeal to fear, and it's an appeal that is totally, thoroughly unjustified and ugly. It's wrong for that a person can be married in the morning in the United States and fired in the afternoon by their employer because they're gay. It's wrong that the violence and hate crimes targeting LGBTQ people is rising. It's wrong that extreme officials are pushing hateful bills targeting transgender children, terrifying families, and criminalizing doctors. These are our kids. These are our neighbors. It's cruel. It's callous. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids. They're the kids and our children are the kite strings that hold our national ambitions aloft. It matters a great deal how we treat everyone in this country. And the fact is that I'm announcing today a series of new initiatives that we're taking to protect the LGBT community. I was going to do this at the four out on the South Lawn. We're having Pride Day. We're going to have to postpone it because of the climate, because of the weather and the pollution out there, because of the fires. But number one, we're going to strengthen the physical safety, dedicated resources, the federal coordination of Better Protect Pride celebrations, marches, community centers, healthcare providers, and small businesses. And secondly, we're addressing civil rights violations, a new coordinator to protect LGBT students from book bans, which make it harder for kids to learn and may violate their civil rights at the same time. We're also engaging in mental health and other supports, more mental health resources and funding to help families support their kids, new efforts to protect LGBTQ kids in foster care, and steps to end the absolute end of LGBTQ homelessness. Congress has to pass, and I'm not giving up on this. Just like they told me we couldn't get the Marriage Act passed. Congress must pass the Equality Act and send it to my desk. LGBTQ Americans, especially children, you're loved, you're heard, and this administration has your back, and I mean it. We are not relenting one single second to make sure that they're protected.
And that was President Joe Biden at the White House with the joint press conference with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak of the United Kingdom. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. I'm Naima Latif. Join us tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. Until that time, enjoy the rest of your day.